Joy to be with you. My, I never heard such singing out of a little short man. It's an old. Where is he? There he is. Okay. I'm just being ugly to you. I mean, not nice to you. Anyway, it's a joy to be here tonight. Hasn't God been good to us this week? It's been a great week. I praise God for this church. I praise God for you. And as we come to Sunday, I'm going to think, what are we going to do next Sunday? Anyway, we'll be busy somewhere. And we're rejoicing in this church and for this pastor and for all of you and what you're doing for the Lord. God bless you. I hope your work will continue on throughout the ages and that the Lord will be honored and glorified because of what you are doing here at this church. I'd like tonight to ask you to turn to the book of Acts, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 11 and verses 19 through 30. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. First time I read that, I wondered, why didn't he preach to the Jews? But I should have read further. He did preach to the Jews. And what about the Gentiles? They preached to the Gentiles. Beloved, let me tell you something. They preached to everybody back in those days. And so we read, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Isn't that great? A great number believed and turned unto the Lord. We've got a pastor in Ethiopia. He's about 62 or 3 years old. When he was just a little boy, he was playing outside and he found an old hand grenade sitting there. And he was playing with it and it exploded. Blew his right arm off the elbow. Blew the tips of his fingers away off of his hand. Blinded him. Learned to read Braille using the edge of his thumb. And when he was blinded, his life had come to an end. What can somebody like that ever hope to do? Well, I'll tell you what Tesfai did. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ under our ministry, and he was saved. And then he grew up, and I told him, Tesfai, you can do whatever you feel that God would have you to do. Do you know what he did? He started a blind and deaf ministry all over East Africa. And people are being saved who arms are blown away because he had just a thumb. And that man can't read Braille with his fingertips because the fingers are gone. One hand is off the elbow and the other one is just his thumb. And so how can he ever hope to read? Well, he did. And he is preaching. He's established several churches. He's established a Bible Institute for blind people. He has started several Bible churches for blind people. Beloved, he is serving God. Now, what can we do? What can we do? We've got our fingers, we've got our hands, we've got our eyes, we've got our mouths, we've got our bodies. What can we do? I'll never forget when I was helping him, I was getting ready to baptize him. So I helped him with his clothing. And I saw that all of his stomach was just a mass of scars. And his body was just torn from one end to the other. And I said, what happened, Tesfai? And he told me, he said, I was in the hospital for a long time. They all thought I was going to die. But he said, I showed them I'm alive anyway. And so that night ordained him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to say that Tesfaye Gosa, that blind, crippled, ugly Ethiopian man, is still preaching the Word of God. Do you know why? Because God loves people. He really does. Say it with me, would you please? God loves people. And so Tesfaye Gosa is still serving there in Ethiopia. And we praise the Lord for that. Now, let's look at our scriptures tonight. Why was the disciples first called Christians at Antioch? Why not at Jerusalem? Or why not some other place? But he started in Antioch. And that wasn't the finish of his work. But it was at Jerusalem where the apostles were. It was at Jerusalem where the first church was. It was at Jerusalem where they experienced first success. The first blush of power came on the day of Pentecost. They had the right methods, Acts 3:42. They had great preaching, Peter on the day of Pentecost. They had the right kind of preaching, Jesus. They had the Word of God. The apostles preached from it. They even had a crisis. The blood of the saints is the seed of the church. And may I say to you tonight that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached around the world. And because God loves people. Would you say that with me? God loves people. And He wants to use us to reach people for His honor and for His glory. The church at Jerusalem seemed to have everything going for it. Certainly everything was going in the right directions. But still they weren't called Christian. Sad. It was at Antioch where they were first called Christian. It was at Antioch where they were called Christian. And look here with me in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, if you will. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first. Where? In Antioch. And that's really true. And so look what they did. Because the Lord loves who? People. And so those people began to reach out. Tesfaye Gosa has started ministries for the blind all over Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. Addis Ababa, by the way, is the capital of Ethiopia. But he started all over that country and all over Africa. Now, blind people are hearing the gospel or reading the gospel with their fingers and following the Lord Jesus Christ because of Burhanu's work with the Lord. I praise God for him. He needs your prayers. He needs your prayers. He's in his 60s now and getting a little bit older and slower than most of us. I'm only 80s, but he's slower than me. And but anyway, he's got more handicaps than I got, maybe. But anyway, he's doing a great job for God. And we have to rejoice in that. Pray for him and pray that God will supply his every need. And much of our work has been with handicapped people. I've worked with hearing people, and Joyce worked with deaf and with other handicapped people. And these people are like the people that y'all are working with. They need people that help them, will stand with them, and will pray for them. Please pray for them. They need your prayers. But, beloved, it was at Jerusalem where they were first called, or where they were called apostles. It was at Jerusalem where the church was, and it was at Jerusalem where they experienced first success. The first blush of power came on the day of Pentecost, and they had the right methods, Acts 5:42. They had great preaching, Peter, on the day of Pentecost. They had the right kind of preaching, Jesus. They had the Word of God. The apostles preached from it. They even had a crisis, and the blood of the saints is the seed of the church. But they had all of these things to enable them to reach men and women wherever they were, doing whatever they were doing. God loves people. We need to understand that. And God loves who? People. He really does. The church at Jerusalem seemed to have everything going for it. But certainly they didn't have the right directions. Still, they were not called Christian. Think on that. Is that Antioch, where they were first called Christian? It was at Antioch where they were called Christian. And beloved, when somebody said, "Are you a Christian?" you can say, "Yes, I'm a Christian." Be proud of being a Christian, because God delivered us from the power of sin. And I'm going to heaven because of it. What about you? Amen. Amen. It was at Antioch where they first called what? Oh, they were first called what?
Christians.
I can't hear you.
Christians.
Attaway. I believe you're going to make one. Okay. But only after they had given themselves to the study of the Word of God. This is the primary reason they were first called Christian. They had been in the Word of God. And as I was looking this over today, I thought about Tesfaygosa. When he first got saved, we won him to the Lord. I gave him a Braille Bible. He couldn't read Braille. And so I got somebody that could, and they sat there and they taught Tesfay how to run his fingers over the pages and feel the Tesfay. And today he's a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We can rejoice in what God is doing in the hearts and lives of every man, woman, boy and girl, blind or deaf or handicapped other ways. It doesn't make any difference. God loves who? People. And these people all over Africa are learning and doing something for the Savior. And I can only rejoice at what God is doing today. Y'all pardon me. I have allergies. And I hate to say it, preacher, but this is the worst place in the world I've ever had allergies. My nose will not stop running. And she's even worse than I am. Okay. Well, let's get on here. After they had been in the Word of God for a year, they had been called what? Christian. That's right. Note that the church at Antioch was not concerned. The church at Antioch was not moved with compassion. The church at Antioch did not learn to give until after they had been in the Bible for a year. Now, I can teach you this, that Tesfay came to our church. We won him to the Lord as just a boy. And he grew up and gave his life to Christ. And the Lord has blessed him. But he learned to give at that church. And he'd give with that hand with the broken fingers, just the tips of his fingers are on that hand, and he'd feel out the pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters, and he'd ask his neighbor, "Is this a dollar or is this $5? Or maybe it's a $10 bill or a $25 bill they have in Ethiopia." And they'd always tell him what he was giving, and that's what he'd give. And he's a preacher today. He reads the Word of God, a Braille Bible, with those fingers, and that are just, he reads slower than most blind people because the tips are gone. But he reads and he loves the Word of God. And I dare say he can quote it better than you or I can, because he has studied the Word of God. Now, after they had been in the Word of God for a year, that church in Jerusalem became the center for world missions and for world evangelism at that time. Bible Christians are missionary Christians. Amen. All else are only in their name Christian. But Bible Christians are Christians who know the Word of God. Do we need a reason for missions? Do you need a reason for missions? Hunger isn't enough. Dying people are not enough. And a desire for adventure certainly isn't enough. But suffering people on their way to hell is the reason, only reason we need for missionaries to go to the ends of the earth and telling others about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this book and its command is all the reason that we need. I'd like to tell you a little bit about a girl by the name of Goma. She's an older lady now, but she was just a girl when she came to our church, and she was deaf. She didn't know sign language. And Joyce fell in love with this deaf girl named Gomaja and taught her Braille. Then she showed her how to be saved. And Gomaja became a Christian. Do you know what Gomaja's doing today? She's teaching other boys and girls in a school that she has started for the deaf. And God uses handicapped people. Amen? He really does. And we can only rejoice in that. Do we need a reason for missions? Hunger isn't enough. Dying people are not enough. A desire for adventure isn't enough. Suffering missionaries aren't enough. But this book, the Word of God, is all that we need to teach us and to drive us to the ends of the world about the love that God had for us when He gave His only begotten Son for us, and He died on the cross of Calvary for us. Gomaja is the name of that teacher of the deaf, who, while in her prison for her faith, even though she was deaf, the communists came in and took over Ethiopia, and they came to Gomaja. She was teaching Bible, and they put her in prison. And she was in prison for some time, as all of our preachers and teachers of the Word of God were. But Gomaja, who while in prison for her faith, said to her people that were tormenting her and beating her, she said, "Beat me if you will, do whatever you want, but I will not renounce my faith in Jesus Christ." And she didn't. She kept on serving God. And one day they got rid of her and they just put her out. They didn't kill her like they did so many of our people, but they just put her out. You know what she did? Went back to teaching the Word of God. She loves the Lord Jesus. Do we love the Lord Jesus? I hope so. But they became Christian when they became concerned about other people. Now, you might be saved, but not concerned about other people. I hate to tell you this. You might be saved, you might be born again, but you're not a Christian. Because Christian people want to make other people Christian. Want to talk to other people about the Lord. To be a Christian is to be like Christ. To be a Christian like Christ, who has spent His whole life for other people. He cared for the sick and He healed them. He cared for the harlot and forgave her. He cared for the brokenhearted mother and raised her dead son. Are you a Christian like that? I hope so. But if you are, or if you're not, just remember this. God, what? Loves people. Not everybody said it. Everybody say it good and big now. God loves people. And if He loves people, who's He got to love them through? Other Christians. And so we're to tell other people of the saving grace of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 9, if you will. Matthew chapter 9. And we'll get over there in just a minute or two. Okay, Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to, chapter 9, verse 35 and 36. Okay, here we are. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You see, Jesus had a mission when He's on this earth. He had a job to do, and that was to bring people to himself that they too might be saved. And now today he's expecting you and me to reach out to the lost and dying people that we meet. You know, a few years ago, I got under conviction about something. I'd go to a store and I'd buy something and I'd never say anything to the store clerk. Or I'd go down to the gas station, pump gas, but I'd never say anything to anybody. I got under real conviction about that, preacher. And my wife will tell you that because I got under conviction about that, every person that I meet, especially those that are in stores and gas stations, people that come to our door, whoever they are, I ask them if they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Why do I do that? Because I'm expected to, just as you are expected. Are you doing that? Time to think about it, isn't it, folks? We need to be concerned because God loves who? People. He loves the man at the gas station. He loves the store clerk. He loves everybody that you come in contact with. And they need to hear a gospel of Jesus Christ. And beloved, the greatest joy has been mine in sharing my faith and my love for the Lord with other people. And I have to believe that when we get to glory, I'm going to see people there that I was able maybe to win to the Lord. But beloved, to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. His whole life was spent for others. He cared for the sick and healed them. He cared for the harlot, and forgave her. He cared for the brokenhearted mother and raised her dead son. God loves people. Amen? Amen. He really does. In Matthew chapter 8 and 9, there are 8 miracles that the Lord performed. Then we read in chapter 9 and turn there to verse 35 and 36. Chapter 9, verse 35 and 36 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd." What's a shepherd do to his flock of sheep? He leads them. He leads them in the right path. And that's what God wants us to do. Not just the preacher, not just the Sunday school teachers, but he wants us all involved in helping other people to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't you think so? Say yes, it's true. All right. So why has he compelled us to pray? "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." Who are the laborers? Who are the laborers? We are. Okay, I want everybody to say, "Me." Okay? He wants laborers to go into the field. And who are the laborers?
Me.
Oh, now that's good. Did all of you say me? Did you say me, Florine? Okay, you better have. Did you say, Fred, me? You didn't. Would you say it right quick? Me. He said it. Did I get your name wrong, Fred? No, I got it right. Okay. All right. Well, we got a job to do, haven't we? The harvest was plenteous, and the laborers are few. This is why he compelled us to pray. "Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Can you sit here tonight and not be moved with compassion that will last any longer than your Big Mac attack? A lot of people do. And by the suffering people of Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Chad, Tanzania, Zambia, Europe, China, United States. God loves people. And it's our responsibility, not the preacher's. It's Christians' responsibility. People born of the Spirit of God who are expected to take the good news that God loves people to those that feel so unlovely. What a job we got to do. Our problem is simple. We have too many choices for those of us that are saved. Let me say this. If you're not moved with compassion over souls that are lost and dying, you cannot call yourself a Christian. That's a funny look, preacher. But it's true, isn't it? If you're not concerned about deaf people who cannot hear, and you're doing nothing for those who cannot hear, do you have a deaf class?
Don't.
Are you going to have one?
You've
got to have a teacher of the deaf.
Yes, sir.
You can't do it. You got to have a teacher of the deaf. Is there somebody here that God would have you to reach a people that in other ways will not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Can you let a deaf person slip into a Christless eternity and lost and doomed because you just don't care enough to learn sign language? And there's lots of places today where you can learn sign language. But beloved, God loves deaf people as much as He loves you and me. And we need to understand that. We had a great deaf ministry, and it was more fun. The deaf are crazy people. They really are. They're all the time laughing and making fun. And when I go in, I'd say, yeah. They just, how do you know you're... I said, I can't hear you. And they didn't hear me any time. And I knew I must be deaf, you know. But I wasn't. But they're people. And they need the gospel. When Christians became Christians, they sought cooperation. They sent aid to the distressed people of Judea and to Jerusalem by the hands of missionaries. They gave, and Barnabas and Saul took it. Oh, I wish you could know our Ethiopian people who took special offerings Sunday by Sunday and gave it to the hands of the preachers and the evangelists to go to other parts of Ethiopia and even on into surrounding countries. All because those people loved people. But you know, more than that, they loved the Savior. They love the Lord. And they know why He came. And so they want to reach these people for Christ and bring them to a saving knowledge that they have of knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, they gave, and Barnabas and Saul took it. Oh, our Ethiopian people who are taking special offerings to send evangelists. And you know how much the Ethiopians make a month or a week? Not very much. It wouldn't be enough to buy us a good meal. They just don't make that kind of money. But they give of their money. Of their money to send others. Oh, we're helping them with their work because God loves people. And you know what I found out? That God loves people through people, but just not anybody. He loves people through Christian people. Who has God loved through you? It's quiet. Why is it so quiet in here? Surely someone could say, yes, for me. He's loving them through me, preacher. I'm telling everybody. Oh, I wish we could be that way. Then we'd see the house full. Then we'd see the altars full. Then we'd see people coming, receiving Christ in their heart and being saved. They were first called Christians when they first gave themselves. I'd like to tell you about a little man. His name was Ishetu, and an old lady. Ishetu came to our church as just a boy. As he grew up, he was saved, gave his heart, his life to the Lord, and he really was serving the Lord. I don't know if you've met him or not, because he's always gone somewhere preaching. He's an evangelist for Christ today. But it started when he just started telling people that God loved them. He didn't meet anybody. I guess he was more of an inspiration to me than anybody else. But oh, beloved, Ishetu just kept going, telling everybody about the Lord. And he's still today an old man, still going out telling people of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But some of us live in our vain, empty, hollow lives. Because though we name the name of Christ, we have never become real, genuine Christians. Christ-like. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. And he spent his whole life for other people. Are you a Christian? Father, as we come to thee tonight, I pray.